For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Tuesday afternoon service of July the 2nd, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Knoll is the teacher for the afternoon.
And we said that a curse was a spoken word. It was an evil speak. It was an evil imposition. An imprecation. And an imprecation is a spoken word. It is the speaking of evil. And I showed you in Isaiah 58, where it said, if you will take away the point of the sending out of the finger and the speaking of evil, and all Hebrew scholars agree that that is a curse that he's speaking of. And we talked yesterday about the curses that come down upon you when you disobey God's spoken word. That God gave certain statutes. And he said that if you will obey, hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you'll be blessed. And these were listed in Deuteronomy 28 in the first 14 verses. But he said, if you do not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, then all these curses will come upon you. And then it extends for another 50-odd verses of various curses that cover almost everything. Yesterday I talked a great deal about the other types of curses spoken by the prophets, and I didn't cover all of them. And today I want to cover a curse. You know, they have a lottery in Salina. And some people came to me and they asked me, was it all right to play the lottery? And I looked in the lot in the world, you know, and they chose the priest by lot. And it says in Proverbs, it says the lot lays in the lap of the Lord. And the lottery got up to $100 million. And so I went to the store and I looked at that and I thought about all the good I could do with all that money, you know. And so I bought a ticket. And I didn't get out the door before the Holy Spirit convicted me, you know. I just came under horrible conviction. So I stopped at a trash can there. So I stopped and tore that ticket up and threw it in the trash right quick and prayed nobody had seen me buy it. And on the way home, the devil spoke to me in an audible voice and he said, you tore up the winning ticket. And I thought about it for a few minutes and I said, that's all right, devil, but I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody going, I said, I bind you. You can't tell anybody. Ain't nobody going to know but me, you, and Jesus, because I sure ain't going to tell anybody if it was a winning. They're going to be stuck around here for the line of a whole year trying to figure out who won that money. Well, it turned out I didn't tear up the winning ticket. But I began to pray about it. And the thing that really convicted me was that I read Malachi. Let's open up Bibles to Malachi. And I thought about all the, quote, good I could do, you know, and all the missionaries I could help with all that money, and I could build the church, and I could help poor folks and help single mothers, and I could make scholarships at the school, and we could just do so much with it. And God gave me this verse, and it says, chapter 1, verse 7. It starts, let's start with verse 6. As a son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I am the master, where's my reverence as the Lord, God of hosts, to the priest who despise my name? And yet we say, in what way have you despised your name? It says, you offer defiled food on my altar. And God said, that's gambling money. He said, that's gambling money, Billy. He gave me that verse and said, that's gambling money. I said, well, does your Bible, does the word say anything about gambling? And so let's turn to Isaiah 65, verse 11. But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for fortune, and who furnish a drink offering for destiny, fortune. That's gambling. Therefore, I will number you for the sword. You shall bow down for the slaughter. Because when I called, you didn't answer. When I spoke, you didn't hear. You did evil in my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight. And I can tell you, people, God does not delight in people who want to get something for nothing. And he sees, you know, your heart is so deceitful. I have people tell me they want a big job. They want this thing to go through so they can tithe more to God. They want to be millionaires so they can tithe more to God. They don't say they want to be millionaires so they can continue to live like they are and give the surplus to God. No, they don't say that. They said, we want to tithe to God off this $1 million. Okay, let's see what it is. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. So, what's the curse in? You're going to be hungry when you gamble. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. You're going to be thirsty when you gamble. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants will sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. And you shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name. Now that's what the Lord says is going to happen to gamblers. And people who gamble, they're having great problems in Minnesota, where gambling is, they have gambling casinos, and they find now that they're spending more than $200 billion a year to pay for the social damage done by gambling than they're getting in taxes. And they find these jobs, all this great offer of jobs and revenue, or for somebody else, we go and attract all these gamblers from someplace else and get the money. I mean, it is it's a horrible thing. And addicted gambling is very, very bad, particularly for young people. Particularly for young people. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up to you. And since anybody asks you against about buying the lottery ticket, I just wanted you to be able to read this to them. Now, for those of you who... people talk to you about the horoscope. I wanted you to come on back in Isaiah to 47. I always have people ask me about the horoscopes. And you can read to them about the... Can y'all hear me in the back? You can read to them about the host of heaven, and they say, well, that doesn't mean anything. But let's look at Isaiah 47 and start on verse 13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Yeah, this is the prophecy for the destruction of Babylon. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things which shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. That's what God thinks about folks who read the horoscope. And you say, well, I really don't believe it. I just read it to see what it's for fun. I said, I hope you enjoy and had a lot of fun because you cursed yourself and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren just reading that cussed horoscope. God says, stay away from the devil's columns. And the signs of the zodiac? I mean, you wear jewelry with the signs of the zodiac on it. You want to know what your sign is? What's your sign? My sign is Jesus Christ. That's my sign. My sign is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And people will ask you what sign you're born under. Well, you don't want to be born. You're born under the sign of the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God.
Amen.
Reborn again into the kingdom of God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, the other curse, of course, is the going back to Malachi, is the curse of folks who steal from God. Brother Jack touched on this last night, and he read that verse, and it says, but I want you to see here, it says, chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you say, in what way we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. and test me now on this, says the Lord God of hosts. You know, this is one of the few places that God says, put me to the test. There's one other place which says that God owes you something. Did you know that in the Bible it says God owes you something? It says in Proverbs, he who has pity on the poor lends to God, and God will repay. If you have compassion for the poor, I'm not talking about legalistic now, but if you have, your heart goes out to poor. God loves poor people. He made so many of them. And he said, they'll always be with you. But if you have compassion on the poor and your heart goes out to poor people and you meet the need that God lays on your heart, you are lending money to Almighty God. And he's going to pay you back. The Bible says so. It says he will repay. That's the only place in the Bible I know that you make God a creditor. If you will have compassion on the poor and meet the need, God will repay you. People don't ever look down your nose at the poor folks. Because God says in another place, if you don't hear the cry of the poor, you're going to call out and he won't hear you. You turn a deaf ear to the poor. I generally get up and read this when we have a love offering at the church. You don't hear the cry of the poor? God won't hear you. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. God checks the accounts. You know, God keeps pretty close accounts. He's a very gracious, compassionate God. And when he puts things under the blood of Jesus, though, thank God he puts the bulk eraser to it. You know, when you take your sins to him, God showed me once, I was reading in Revelation, it said that the books were opened. And I looked that word book up, and it means scroll. And I was praying about it, and God showed me an electromagnetic tape. And he showed me the big TV screen. And I'm standing before judgment. And I said, I really say that, Lord. And they said, play that tape again for him. And there it came, right up on the screen for all the world to see. I really did. But you know, when you put that under the blood of Jesus Christ, God's got a bulk eraser. You know, Glenn's got a bulk eraser in that. He just takes those big tapes and just runs them across it and erases everything on there. God's got that bulk eraser called the blood of Jesus because he says, your sins and transgressions I will remember no more. It's important, people, that you repent and confess your sins and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. To truly repent and turn from them and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Well, I need to get on talking about curses. And so today we're going to talk about other kinds of curses. We talked about curses spoken by God or spoken in God's behalf by his prophets. Now we're going to talk about curses spoken by people, evil implications spoken by people. Let's look at Genesis 27:12. Here in Genesis 27:12, you'll find the story of Jacob stealing Esau's curse. 27:11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I will seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. There it is in the Word of God. A father has the authority to curse his children. He can either bless his children or he can curse his children. And fathers, I say to you, be very careful what you say to your children, because those words are life and death to your child. If you get angry with your child, the vision I saw was a young boy that looked a lot like me. And the man standing over him was an alcoholic who was drunk. And the words he said were words I heard a lot when I was a child. You're a dumb bunny. You ain't got enough sense to... And you're always going to be dumb. You're always going to be a failure. You ain't going to amount to nothing. And that light hit that child. And that was the demon that had the legal right to harass that child. With fierce feelings of inferiority, feelings of dumbness, to steal, part of his intelligence, part of his soul. Make him lost. Always striving to fit in. Always striving to feel good enough to be accepted. And that father was a good man. He was, you know, he was a good man. He tried real hard. He just was in bondage to the whiskey bottle. His grandmother was a spiritualist. I always thought it was interesting that his father's, in the genealogy I read, grandmother recorded the day of the week, the day of the month, the day of the week, and the time of the day he was born in the family Bible. And that's only necessary if you're going to do horoscopes. If you're going to do an individual horoscope, you need to know exactly where they were born, what day of the week it was, and what time of day. Particularly if it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. We don't record that on birth certificates. Now, you can go back. Computer will tell you now. But he's a good man, but he was in bondage to a whiskey bottle, and he stayed in bondage to a whiskey bottle, and he had lots of other problems, too. Brilliant man. He could stand on the side of the railroad track and could multiply it up the numbers of the cars as they went by. And he worked hard. He's a hard-working man. But he's mean drunk. He's a mean drunk. Good man. Always made sure I went to church. Taught me that I should never steal. Gave me good moral values. Taught me that Jim Crow was wrong. Raised me in Alabama and taught me that. He had firm moral convictions, but he was a Mason. His father before him had been a Mason. All his brothers were Masons. And his mother was in the Eastern Star. All those curses came down on me and on my children. Thank God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, they've been broken. Okay. So a father can curse his son, his children. Bless them, too. He can bless them, or he can curse them. That's authority given by God. Now let's look from a position of authority. Let's look at Numbers 5. Here in Numbers 5, you will find the curse of infidelity. And it starts in verse 11. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if a man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully towards him, and if a man lies with her carnally and it's hidden from the eyes of the husband, and it's concealed that she's defiled herself and there was no witness against her nor was she caught, if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he's become jealous of his wife although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest, and he shall have an offering. And the priest shall set it, bring it to her." And look at verse 17. "The priest shall take holy water." Now, that's the water from the red heifer offering. "In an earthen vessel, and take some of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, and put it in the water, and stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of remembrance in her hands, and a grain offering for jealousy. And then the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. The priest shall put the woman under oath and say to the woman, if no man is laid with you," now this is the curse, "if no man is laid with you, if you've not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray under your husband's authority, if you have defiled yourself and some man other than your husband is lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under oath and curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. Then the Lord will make your thigh rot and your belly swell. And may this water that causes the curse go through your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh spot rot. And then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Then the priest will write the curses in a book and scrape them off into the bitter water. And the woman shall drink the water that brings the curse, and the curse shall enter into her body." And so forth. You see, here is a curse spoken, accepted, and it comes to pass. If you read it on through, you'll see if she has been unfaithful that her belly will swell and her thigh will rot. And if she has not been unfaithful, nothing will happen to her. Now, here is a curse spoken by a person in authority, in a position of authority, the priest. Do you have pastors? A pastor is in position of spiritual authority over you. I had one young man that I ministered to, and he'd been having financial difficulty for 2 years. He'd had previously a prosperous private business, and it had just gone to pot. And so I sat down and talked to him, and he told me when he left this other church, the pastor argued with him that he wasn't supposed to leave. And he said, yes, that God had laid it on his heart. And the pastor said, no, you're not supposed to leave. If you leave this church, you're going to be out of God's will, and you're going to go broke. He went broke. That was a curse placed on him by that pastor. Now, he could have said to the pastor, I do not accept that in the name of Jesus Christ. And it wouldn't have come to pass. It says in the Bible, when you make a vow, it talks about when a woman makes a vow and her husband hears it and it is not agreeable, he says, no, the vow is to no effect. But let me show you another place. Let's look in Isaiah 44, I think. I've got this all marked in my other Bible. It says that no tongue, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And any tongue that rises against you in condemnation, you shall reject. Oh, man. 54. Okay. I'm still way too far off. Yeah. Okay. It's any that you shall reject. It says, in the King James, it says condemn. Derek Prince says the alternate reading for that is refute. You can refute it. Refuse to accept it on the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And the evil implications spoken against you, you do not have to accept. You can say no. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I reject that. According to Isaiah 54. Your boss at the job is authority over you. Anybody who's an authority over you can speak a curse on you, but you don't have to accept it. Now, if it's spoken over you and you hear it, you have to reject it. If it's spoken and you don't hear it, it can't light without a cause. Proverbs 27 says a curse causeless cannot light. Proverbs 26:2. Like a fitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse with cause cannot alight. Praise your Lord. Now, if you have wronged someone, they can curse you. Deliberately hurt someone. Let's look at Judges chapter 9. Now, here in Judges chapter 9, Gibeons, also called Jeroboam, had 80 sons or 70 sons, and he had one son by a harlot down at Shechem. And when he died, the son down at Shechem gathered a bunch of rogues or worthless men, and they went down, and they said, make me king. You should have me king because I'm your flesh and blood. And so they made him king, and he went down and killed his 70 brothers. But the youngest brother, only killed 69 of them, the youngest brother got away. And so when they were crowning Jeroboam king, the younger brother climbed up on top of Mount Gizeon, and he said, let's see, and when it was told to Jeroboam, he stood on the top of Mount Gizeon and lifted his voice and cried out and said to him, listen to me, men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. And then there's a long prophecy here that you should read. And then verse 16. Now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity, making Abimelech king, and if you've dealt well with Jeroboam and his house, and done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem because he is your brother. If you've acted in truth and sincerity with Jeroboam and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him rejoice in you. Now here's a curse. But if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth-Milo. And let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth-Milo and devour Abimelech. Then Jonathan ran away and fled. And look at on verse 22. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel for 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. And if you read on down to verse 57, you will see that there was intrigue, and eventually all of these people were killed. And you read verse 57, and all the evil of the men of Shechem, God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jeroboam, the son of Jeroboam. Now, going back to verse 23, that spirit of ill will is the same Hebrew as the distressing spirit God sent on Saul in 1 Samuel. That is the same spirit, the same Hebrew word. And so, if you've been wronged, you have a right to curse. Now, God says you don't do that. God says don't curse those who hurt you. Bless them. And we will get to that shortly. But if you've hurt somebody, they can curse you. That's the reason it's important. It says in Matthew 5. Well, let's look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown in prison. And assuredly I say to you, will no minds get out till you've paid the last penny. And they're talking, I feel they're talking about your adversary getting angry and cursing you, turning you over to the officer, and you get thrown into the jailhouse for unforgiveness. You don't go and forgive your neighbor and ask forgiveness and try to make it right. You see, you got unforgiveness and separates you from God. And your adversary can go, and if you've wronged him, he can curse you. And you'll wind up in the jailhouse. Now, it's interesting there in Matthew 18, it says that if you do not forgive, said the master was wroth with that servant, and he turned him over to the tormentors. The NIV says he put him in the jail in charge of the tormentors and let the tormentors be in charge. You don't want to be in. Whatever happens, it's not a very nice place to be or a nice thing to happen. So that's the reason it's important if you inadvertently hurt somebody, make it right. Now, when you've done your best and these people still won't, and somebody just holds on to it, then that's between them and God. You get on your knees and you start praying for them. And I'll show you what happens to those curses then, later. But the idea is, when you've hurt somebody, make it right. And don't let the grass grow under your feet. That's the reason the Bible says, quickly. And God showed me that one day, and I just said, I never realized that I've interpreted that a half a dozen different ways, but it's the first time I've ever seen it in a light that this man could curse you, and you could wind up under torment. And so we have, first, a parent or a grandparent retain spiritual authority over their children until they die. They have the ability to curse or bless them. Number two, a person position of authority over you can speak evil implications on you. You don't have to accept them. You can reject them, and you don't have to get up in your boss's face and say, in the name of Jesus, I reject that. You can just say quietly, I reject that in the name of Jesus. Very quietly under your breath and go ahead. You don't have to get in open rebellion. You can just say, I don't accept that in the name of Jesus. And go ahead. If you've wronged somebody, make it right. Got something between you and your brother? Somebody's hurt you? Make it right. Forgive them. Pray for them. Make it right. In the name of Jesus. The last type of curse is the professional. Ezekiel 13:17 says, likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy their own hearts. Prophesy against them. And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils on the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people to keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread? killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to people who listen to your lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like flying things. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like flying things. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall no longer be prey in your hand. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you will know I am the Lord. Now, here's a prophecy spoken to a group of professional people with familiar spirits who prophesied by familiar spirits out of their own hearts, not by the Spirit of God. They killed people. I've seen two people die from witchcraft in my lifetime. One when I was a small boy on a farm. The second when I was a physician. I had finished my internship, and I was visiting my hometown, and one of my friends who was practicing medicine asked me to look at a young lady with him who was dying, and they couldn't figure out why she was dying. She was just laying in the bed, and she just sort of curled up in a ball, and she was moaning, and she was dying, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And I recognized it, and I talked to her parents, and they said that the hoodoo had put a curse on her. And I suggested they go to the hoodoo and pay him to take the curse off. I was a heathen then. But the hoodoo wanted too much money. They didn't have enough money to pay him off. And so the girl died 2 days later. They did an autopsy, and they sent her off for toxicology, and they checked for all the known poisons and all this, that, and the other, and she died. I know she died from the curses. And so I'll always remember the missionary from Papua New Guinea who talked to me. And he said when he first went to New Guinea, and there was a great move of God within the village where he was working, people began to get saved, and he upset the social order within the village. And so witch doctor came to him and said, you have really upset the powers that be, and they have hired me to curse you and kill you. Said, I go out into the jungle, and I have done my thing, and I have sent my demons against you with the curses. He said, but they came back, and they said that you have a much stronger spirit protecting you, and they can't touch you. You know, greater he is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And he said, but I have to tell you that these people are very upset. And I make my living by cursing people. This is the way I make my living. They're going to continue to pay me, and I'm going to continue to curse you. Don't make your protecting spirit, don't grieve that protecting spirit so that he leaves you. For if you do, my demons will kill you. Missionary said he grieved the Holy Spirit twice. Once he got in a fight with his wife and went to bed mad. And woke up the next morning sicker than a dog. It took him a day and a half to realize what was wrong. He went and got right with his wife and God healed him. The second time, he got into a fight with one of the elders of the church. And righteous indignation came over. And he went to bed mad, and he was had righteous indignation against this rebellious elder. And he just knew he was right, and the next morning he was sick. He said it only took him about 3 hours to realize what was wrong this time, and he trotted out and made things right with the elder. But curses are real. Now, I remember a friend of mine that ministered here at the camp. He was a Swedish curse caster. He'd been in spiritualism before he got saved, and his father before him had cast curses. He used to cast curses before he got saved, and he lived in Minneapolis. And he said that there was an old hotel outside of Minneapolis, an old place that was used to be part of the Underground Railroad, where the escaped slaves would come up and they would spend the night there before they went over into Canada. And a lot of them had died there. And he found it an ideal place to cast curses. He would go out there, and his wife went with him once and said, "Man, this is the spookiest place." He said, "Oh, it's wonderful." And he said, "Man, this is the spookiest place I've ever been in. I'm going to leave." And he would make his altar and light his black candles and do his thing. And he said this black cloud would come up between the candles, pronounce a curse, and would go out. But he was always very careful. He said he was always very careful with his curses because he investigated very carefully before he ever cast a curse, because his father always told him that if he cast a curse and it wasn't deserved, it would come back on him. So he always investigated things very carefully. And he told me the results of several curses. You know, he said one was a friend who had an eye operation. The nurse had not taken care of his eye properly during the after surgery. Had put the wrong medicine in, and he had lost some vision in it. And so he cursed her, and she lost an eye. She got an eye infection, lost an eye. And after he got saved, he got on his knees and asked God to forgive him and to bless all those people and all of them that he could remember. But curses are real. And they are professional people who do nothing but cast curses. And they think it's a gift from God, you see. They're not Christian. Most of them are not real mean people. Some of them are, you know, just real nice. That's just the way to get even. You know, you don't get mad, you get even. And to talk to them, you'd think they were just regular ordinary folks. Just got this, you know, they just sort of carry grudges. And then some of them are just plain out professional witches in Satanism. And some make a living doing this. The witch doctor that lived close to my home, his name was Harry S., and Harry made a living doing this. He was called Dr. S., and people came from miles around for Dr. S. to treat them. And they would be healed. Now, I tell you, when you trade at the devil's trading counter, you always trade up. You know, you've got headaches, and so you get rid of your headaches and you get a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got a stomach ulcer, you can read a stomach ulcer and get cancer of the colon. I mean, you know, you just sort of trade up. The devil, he never gives you a fair deal. He's a liar from the beginning. You think you're going to make a deal with him? I've seen pastors try to make a deal with him. And I tell you, the devil will expect you to keep your part, but he ain't going to keep his. He's going to eat you up. And you've walked away from the covering of God, and you don't have any protection once you make a deal with the devil. So don't make deals with the devil. Oh, don't ever do that, because he's a liar. You can't believe anything he says. He's going to lie to you. You know how to tell when the devil's lying to you? His lips are moving. Lying's his native language. Well, let's look on here. So they kill people, should not die. And it keeps folks alive who should not live. They're healing folks. Now, the witch doctor can heal people. Harry S. used to. Witch doctors in foreign countries make their living doing that. If a Christian goes to the witch doctor for healing, the devil will frequently heal him, and he will lose his faith. He will never be able to stand in faith again. It just affects him so adversely. Watchman Nee records that several instances of that, in which they went to the local witch doctor practitioners, his people of his church did. And he said they were never able to stand in faith again. It just robbed them of their faith. Now, people, your soul is what the devil attacks with curses. Now, your soul is your will or volition, your intelligence, and your emotions. Those are the three parts of your soul. Now, you've got to remember, most people think of the soul as the brain. That's just a filing system. Because after this tent you're in is in the grave and rotted, your soul is still alive. Now, the Bible tells us that the nephah, the soul, is in the blood. It says Jesus poured out his soul unto death. What did he pour out? He poured out his blood. And so your soul is a spiritual being. Psalms tells us that your soul can be attacked by a lion, rendered by a lion when there's none to protect. What is a devil? A roaring lion. He can rend your soul, tear it to shreds, take pieces of it away, put a demon in its place. And the professional witches do this all the time. They'll capture part of your soul like a flying thing. That word bird in there literally means flying thing. It doesn't mean a little bird that flies. If that word is also used in Ecclesiastes when it says the bird of the air will tell the matter. That's not a bird like you and I think about. That's a flying. It's actually a flying thing. It's a familiar spirit. And, you know, my mother used to have little birdies all over town. You'd come home and somebody would call and say, well, a little birdie told me. And she was referring to this scripture. Hail, praise the Lord. And so they will capture part of your soul. It's captured by curses, extracted by demons. You curse, the soul is cursed. The curse is spoken. The demon is sent forth and the soul is extracted and can be put in a jar. You know, one of the hardest things that I had to do, I was raised to be a scientist. When I came out of medical school, I didn't think there wasn't anything you couldn't put in a mathematical formula. Math is the only true science, and everything scientific has a mathematical expression, and math never changes. Two and two is always four. When I came out of medical school, I thought you could put God in a mathematical formula. I got fooled. You can't put this in no mathematical formula either. Only thing you can put in the mathematical formula is that which you can see that's going to pass away. But this won't ever pass away. This is eternal. Your soul is eternal. The spirits are eternal. And this is a whole new set of rules. It takes a little getting used to. It goes against you and your conscience. Just like demons. They say that is an old medieval. Nobody believes that anymore. It's like when they were rewriting the Episcopal prayer book, the Bishop of New York said, well, surely nobody believes in the devil anymore. And one of the other bishops said, can you believe that? He's sitting in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah and says he doesn't believe in the devil. Well, praise the Lord. Now, let's look at, I said that I would show you what happens about the curses coming back. Okay. Now, you've always said a curse causeless can't light. Now, what a witch will do, let me cover this first. What a professional witch will do before she casts a curse, she has a familiar spirit that she will send out to read you. And this familiar spirit will go out and talk to the familiar spirits around you, the spirits that Satan is assigned to follow you and be familiar with you and know where you go and what you do. And they will talk to those spirits and find out what your sin is. And then they will go back and tell the witch, and she will formulate a curse that will match your sin so that the curse can light. That's what the witch will do. That's the reason it's important to repent. To confess your sins and repent. You know, if God convicts me of a sin, I stop right then and repent. I don't care what I'm doing or where I'm going or what. If I'm in the middle of a conversation, I say, you just need to excuse me for a minute. Because I go repent immediately. I don't want to give the devil a foothold in my life. I don't want to move over and make room for him to come in. Now let's look at Psalm 109, verse 17 to 20. Now, most of you are familiar with this. This psalm was quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost. But we'll start with verse 5. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Now, God doesn't like folks that reward evil for good. Proverbs 17:13 says that if you reward evil for good, that evil will never leave your house. Okay. And so he says, they watered me even. And so he starts a long curse that covers everything. Set a wicked man over him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he's judged, let him be found guilty. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless. His wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Now, this is called the vagabond curse. Because you see this in people who come in and out of missions a lot. Or people who always change jobs. You got somebody who can't ever keep a job. They in a job and they're in there for a month and then they go and they go someplace else and they're always moving around. Let a creditor seize all he has. Let stranger plunder his leather. Let there no one be extend mercy to him, nor let there be any favor for his fatherless children. Let his prosperity be cut off and this generation following his name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his father be remembered before the Lord. Let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because they did not show mercy, but they persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might slay the broken in heart. Now here's this. As he loved cursing, so let it come on him. As he did not delight in blessings, let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as his garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like a garment which covers him, a belt which continually girds him. Let this be the reward, the Lord's reward to my accusers who speak evil against my soul. That word person is soul. It's nephah. And so you see, they're speaking evil. They're cursing. These people are cursing God's person, cursing David. And David pronounces this. Now, this is the most, witchcraft considers this the most perfect curse, and this is the one they read frequently when they're cursing somebody because it leaves not a stone unturned. In case you're interested, there are books on the market that you can buy that tells you how to use the Bible to curse people. Tells you what color candles to use and how to make your altar and what verses to read to curse people. Okay, now, let us look at 35:12. Psalm 35:12 says, "They reward me evil for good, for the sorrow of my soul. As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled myself with fasting. And my prayer would return to my own bosom." Now you see, here is David, and these people have rewarded him evil for good. David's being good. They're sick. These people have cursed him and done evil to him, but now they're sick. David is fasting for them. He's put on sackcloth, and he's praying that they will get well. And what does it say? Did God send the prayers back into David's bosom? Those prayers that David was praying for them have come back to rest on David. And it will do the same on you. We saw this in Job when Job prayed for his accusers. In Job 42, God healed Job and restored his losses. Let's look at Psalm 69:21. They gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me bitter to drink. This is an example of returning evil for good. This was the Bible I was reading when I got the revelation. I marked it in him. I didn't mark it in the other one. Okay, it's Psalm 64, verse 3. This is a prayer for oppressed by the wicked. And here, verse 3 says, "Who sharpen their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows," and the arrows are bitter words. Those are curses. "That they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear." Come on down now to verse 7. "But God shall shoot them with an arrow, and suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue." And there you see the curses are coming back. They're stumbling over their own tongue. And I said, "Lord, can you make it a little plainer than that?" And he said, "Yes. Go back to Psalm 109. Psalm 109 says, that they have rewarded me evil for good. Remember now, when David was praying for the people who had rewarded him evil, his prayers came back. But what happens when you reward someone evil for good? As they love curses, let it be on them. As they did not delight in blessings, so let it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing, so he let it enter his body like water and oil on his bones, and be a garment that covers him and a belt that girds him. So as you pray for someone, as you pray for those who are cursing you, you will turn the curses around because they are rewarding you evil for good. If they curse you while you're praying good things for them, they are rewarding you evil for good, and those curses will come back. Now, if you want to make a professional witch really frightened when she curses you, just look at her and say, "The Lord Jesus Christ bless you, child." And you will absolutely terrify them. They'll turn and run out. Because those demons hate the witches anyway. You know, the demons hate me, they hate you, they hate the witch. You know, Satan treats his people real bad. I've never really ministered to a professional witch, hadn't been in the insane asylum at least twice and had cancer once. I mean, Satan just really treats his people real bad. Those demons hate them. Satan hates them because they're in God's image. You know, Satan rebelled against God once, and he fell. He lost, and he can't hurt God. He's still mad about it. But he can't hurt God. He can't touch God. But I tell you what he can touch. He can touch his image. That's you. Like the young girl who got the Dear John letter, she went home and she took a boy's picture and she threw it on the floor and she stomped on it. She couldn't touch him, but boy, she could sure touch his image, that photograph. In case you're interested, it's God said, "Let us make man in our likeness and our image." And the Hebrew word for image is the thing that's come down today to mean to have your photograph taken. And you look just like God. That's what it says. So he hates you. He hates you. He sucked Adam and Eve into rebellion so they'd have to go down to the fiery pit with him. And you say, "Yeah, God, I know. I know you got that fiery pit for me, and I know I'm going there." But this man that you create in your image, he rebelled too, just like I did. And you're just, if you're going to put me in the fiery pit, you got to put the man in there with me. And therefore, Jesus Christ came and paid the price for your sins, so you don't have to go to the fiery pit. Now, Hebrews says that he didn't come to give aid to the angels. But he came to give the seed aid to the seed of Abraham, which is you. And so, when someone curses you, pray for them. That's all I can say. When someone has hurt you badly and you have unforgiveness, forgive them. And get out on your stomach and pray for them and ask God to bless them. When you can have compassion going out for people who've hurt you and ask God for it, say, "God, I can't do it my own right. I can't do it. It's a gift from you." But if you seek God, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, and God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you go forth in faith and ask God to bless them and give you compassion for them, let you see how he feels about them. God will give you such love for them, and you can pray for them then. And if the prayer don't deserve the prayers, they'll come back to you. And God will bless you and heal you and restore your losses. Because he wants you in his image, and that's what he does. He wants them healed. It is not the will of God, the desire of God, that anybody should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved. He says it over and over again in the Scripture. But he weeps over the ones who are in rebellion and who will go down to the pit because they will not repent. Curses are real, people. They are real. It's the way the devil attacks you. I am convinced that the devil can attack you only through curses. I think it's curses that allow the demons a legal right to come into your life. I think it's curses that allow the demons to harass you. Either a self-spoken curse, one other type of curse, the last type of curse, one I hadn't spoken about, is a self-spoken curse. And how many people say, oh, I'll always be, and they can say either sick or poor or mad or angry or some bad thing. Guess I'm always going to be that way. Well, you know, that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. That is a curse. And it will come to pass. And people, you don't want that in your life. You want to speak blessings on yourself. The spoken word and the power of the tongue is life and death. Life and blessings, curse, death and cursing. In James it says that out of the same spring come bitter water and sweet water. Do people with that out of a mouth, do they bless themselves and curse men made in the likeness of God? My people, it should not be so. You shouldn't curse. Romans 12 says, bless those who curse you. Matthew 5 says, do good to those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. Why? Because the blessings will come back on you and you will be transformed. That's why into the image of God. The object is to become the image of Jesus Christ. And as you pray for your enemies, that thing will come back on you. Your prayers will come back on you and transform you into the image of the living God. And you will be blessed, and your children will be blessed, and your grandchildren will be blessed. It is important to know that what you say, what comes out of your mouth. Now, people say they don't curse in the New Testament. I just want to read just one more thing. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 13. Seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, and he went to see perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not season for seeing. And in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Okay. And turn down to verse 20. Now in the morning they passed by, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. There it is. Don't tell me that curses don't exist in the New Testament. There it is, in the Word of God. Just wanted to show that to you. For people who say that it doesn't exist in the New Testament, it does. It exists in the Old Testament, it exists in the New Testament. And he says, have faith in God. What comes out of your mouth is important. It's important. It'd be wonderful if you could only speak in the Holy Ghost all the time. Then you know what would be coming out of your mouth would be good and edifying. That's the reason you should be slow to speak. Quick to hear and slow to anger. Measure your words. Because out of your mouth, a man is defiled by what comes out of his mouth. And out of your mouth, you're going to be judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth. Remember the big tape and the big screen. You'll see them again. I was gratified when I heard Brother Howard Pittman talk about the big screen, because he said when he stood before God, he had the big screen, and that they played it out for him. I said, it wasn't only for me, thank God. Somebody else had the same experience. Thank God for the bulk eraser, the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those are the curses, people. I just want you to know they're real. I implore you to put a guard on your mouth. Be careful what you say to your children. Say good things. Now, you have to correct your children. But you can correct your children in a positive way. Never degrade your children. Never degrade your wife, gentlemen. Because what you say to your wife has a power of life and death over her. And remember, words can come back to haunt you. What you say. Praise your Lord. Well, let's all stand up and praise him a little bit. Stomp our feet. Stomp our feet and lift up our hands. Because the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Get your circulation going. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Now, in the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Say, dear Lord, I confess that in the past I have been hasty. I have said idle things that did not edify, that did not bring grace to the hearer. And sometimes I have had loud clamoring and arguments. I have grieved your Holy Spirit. I confess this is sin. I ask forgiveness under the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. For your word says, if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I claim your cleansing, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess there are people whom I have resented. I have not made right. I have unforgiveness against. I ask forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. I do now forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, abused me, or used me anyway contrary to the will of God. At this time now, if you've got any unforgiveness against anyone, I want you to mention it very quietly to God. Just quietly to God, under your breath, but you need to put it in the airways. You need to speak it. Say, I forgive John, Joe, Jim, Jack, your mother, father, or whoever, in the name of Jesus. I do forgive these people, Lord, and I ask you to bless them abundantly, bring them to salvation, touch them, and heal them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I break any curses ever spoken against me or my family in the name of Jesus. I break any curses that have come down through the family line from the sins of the fathers. I break any jinxes ever said against me. I come against any fetishes which have been made in my likeness. Any arguments or portions in the name of Jesus, I declare them to no effect. And I ask you to bless those who made them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bring them to salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, you know the things that torment me, that bind me, that rob my peace. Lord Jesus, I call upon you as my deliverer to set me free in the name of Jesus. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Set me free now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's everybody sit down now and put both feet on the floor. In the name of Jesus, I come against all rejection now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind rejection and command rejection to be gone in the name of Jesus. All rejection, I bind you. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends, rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection in the name of Jesus, and I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. Go, rejection, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all fear. Fear of failure, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being loved, fear of not being good enough. In the name of Jesus, I bind fear, legion fear, all fear in the name of Jesus, witchcraft fear, bondage to fear in the name of Jesus Christ. The perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out all fear because fear has torment. Turn them loose now, fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, fear. Go, go, Go in the name of Jesus. All fear be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you fear and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. All lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life in the name of Jesus. All lust for things, lust for position, lust for knowledge in the name of Jesus. Lust for prestige in the name of Jesus. Lust for sex in the name of Jesus. Lust for money in the name of Jesus. Be gone. All lust in the name of Jesus. Be gone. The lust of the eyes, go. The lust of the flesh, go. The lust of pride of life, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. All lust in the name of Jesus. All lust, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lust, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, lust, go, go. Go, in the name of Jesus, all bondage, spirits of bondage to alcohol, bondage to drugs in the name of Jesus, bondage to fear in the name of Jesus Christ, bondage to rock music in the name of Jesus, bondage, I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage, go in the name of Jesus. Bondage in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft bondage in the name of Jesus, be gone. All bondage in the name of Jesus. I speak to bondage in Jesus' name. Go, bondage. I bind all bitterness and anger and rage in the name of Jesus. All anger and rage in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All anger, rage, and violence in the name of Jesus. All spirits of alcoholism and wine bibbing in the name of Jesus. All mocking spirits and raging spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all stubbornness, stubborn spirits, strong will spirits, witchcraft spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all paranoid spirits, all spirits of mental illness and schizophrenic spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, schizophrenia, I bind you in Jesus' name. Go, all schizophrenic spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of headaches in the name of Jesus. All spirits of migraine headaches, cluster headaches, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go. I break all the curses ever spoken that brings headaches in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. All fear, cursing fear. Go in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft fear. Go. All spirits of witchcraft and witchcraft fear be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. All tormenting fear in the name of Jesus. Go. Praise you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you bore all of our infirmities and all of our sorrows and all of our sickness and all of our pain, Lord. Lord, I speak healing to your people now, Lord God. I speak healing to the ears, Lord. I bind all spirits of headaches now, all spirits of brain tumors in the name of Jesus. I bind them and command them to be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. All headaches, all brain tumors, all deafness, all vertigo, all strokes in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. All amnesia, all spirits of amnesia in the name of Jesus. All spirits of dyslexia and learning disabilities in the name of Jesus. All spirits of reading disability and learning disability be gone. All spirits of mental retardation go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. All spirits of blindness in the name of Jesus. Spiritual blindness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of cataracts in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of cataracts. All spirits of hay fever, of asthma, hay fever, or bronchitis in the name of Jesus. You spirits of chronic bronchitis. You go in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave Brother Jack. Leave him in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. All bronchitis in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus. For Jesus was born in infirmities and sorrows and sickness and pain. He was wounded for his transgressions and bruised for his iniquities. And by his stripes he's been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all spirits of stomach ulcers in the name of Jesus Christ. All stomach ulcers. All colitis in the name of Jesus Christ. All hyperacidity. All diabetes in the name of Jesus. All Crohn's disease in the name of Jesus. All diarrhea in the name of Jesus. All menorrhagia in the name of Jesus. All vaginitis. All cystitis. All cervicitis in the name of Jesus. All the incontinent bladders in the name of Jesus Christ. All prostatism in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. I come against all spirits of Bell's palsy and I bind you in the name of Jesus and I command you to be gone. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing and restitution to God's people. In the name of Jesus, I come against all arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. All arthritis, arthritis in the joints, all back pain, knee pain, pain, joint pain, ankle pain, in the name of Jesus Christ. All weak ligaments, I bind you, command you to line up with the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, be gone, be gone, be gone. All eczema in the name of Jesus, all skin disease, all eczema, all psoriasis in the name of Jesus, I bind you, all seborrhea, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and command you to be gone out of God's people. In the name of Jesus. Speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, you touch your people now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just touch them. All diabetes in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord God. Pour your spirits out, Lord God. Pour out your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, let your spirit come down and fill your people now, Lord. Let it come down and fill your people, Lord. Fill your people, Lord. Lord, I bind all the spirits of witchcraft now. All Indian witchcraft in the name of Jesus. All Indian witchcraft. All Black Forest witchcraft. All Druid witchcraft. All Gypsy witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Bind all the hoodoos and the voodoos and the roots in the name of Jesus. I bind the kahuna in the name of Jesus. The witchcraft from the kahuna in the name of Jesus. The witchcraft from the shaman in the name of Jesus. I just bind all of you. Command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. All the curses that have come down on these people from religious authorities, from churches that they've left in the past, I break the curses in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus. I break any vows that they've ever made. I counsel any vows they've ever made to any dead people or any saints in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I counsel any novenas in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal them, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Let's everybody stand up now. In the name of Jesus. Hold up your hands and let's thank Him now. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise and bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Praise and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Great and mighty God, pour out your spirit, Lord God. Oh, God, pour out your love now. Fill your people, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Lord, let your healing grace come down, Lord God. Heal your people, Lord God. Remove all the bitterness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All bitterness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. All betrayal, Lord. I bind the spirits of bitterness and betrayal and condemnation in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, let your spirit of adoption come down on your people. Hallelujah, Lord God. We praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Now, Lord Jesus, just bless this food, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the food, Lord God. Bless those who prepared it. Bless those who are going to partake of it, Lord. Let it be nourishment to their bodies, Lord God, and a blessing to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for your deliverance. We thank you for the food, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you and praise you, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.